me to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. You know, one of the things I enjoy about what I get to do on a weekly basis is sometimes the Lord allows me to play with toys. Was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got to play with Play-Doh. And today I get to play with different colored blocks. You know, Jesus, speaking in the Gospels, made a statement. He said that the wise man built his house upon a rock. And he says that when the winds and the storms came, that the house of the wise man stood. But then he goes on and he talks about a foolish man. And he says that the foolish man built his house on unstable ground. And the Bible says that when the storms came and the winds blew, that house fell. Jesus makes another statement. He says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And he says, when that divided house falls, great is its fall. So I want to look at something here today. I'm really going to have you guys standing for a long, long time. You ready for this? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Father God, we pause one more time to thank you for your word today. We pray, God, that you just continue to move, you continue to flow in the hearts and the lives of everyone that's in here today, God. We turn everything over to you today. Again, Lord, we have no plans, we have no ideas, we have no devices. All we have is our faith and our trust in you. And Lord, as one said a little bit ago, we walk by faith and not by sight. So Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that as we go through the rest of this service, throughout this day, and into the service tonight, we just pray that you continue to lead us, you continue to guide us, and you continue to anoint us, because your word says that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks the yokes. And we just thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. God bless your hearts. You can be seated. I believe the King James Bible says, except the Lord build the house. Same word, same meaning. And we're going to get into some of these words here in just a few moments. There's a few words in that one little phrase that I want to look at today. And we're going to go through that part of it and then kind of get into some more of the deeper stuff here. But I want you to think about this again. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Now, I've got several quotes I'm going to read to you here today from different Bible commentaries that I have, different study books that I have. And I want to start off with this. One of these commentaries says, there are two ways to build a house. One is to move ahead with plans based on one's knowledge, skill, and financial resources, then ask God's blessing on the completed structure. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. How many times have we done that? How many times have we made that mistake that we look at what we can do, we do what we can do, and then after the fact we say, God, bless this. That's one way that we can build a structure. That's one way we can build something. Now, going on, the writer of this commentary makes a statement. He says, the other way is to wait until the Lord has given unmistakable guidance, then move ahead in conscious dependence on Him. In the first case, the project never rises above flesh and blood. In the second, there is the thrill of seeing God working through the marvelous provision of needed supplies, through the miraculous timing and sequence of events, and through the converging of circumstances that would never happen according to the laws of chance. It makes all the difference in the world to be building with God. One of the study Bibles I have in the side note says, all works of men built independent of God are vain. This psalm teaches man to put dependence upon God for success in building lasting things, houses, families, business, national security, or anything else. So I'm looking at this, and that what I just read to you out of that one study Bible that I have, that blew my mind, because when I went down through and started studying some of these words, when I did a word study on that part of that verse, because you notice we didn't even read through the whole rest of the verse. The second part of verse 1 talks about something else. And you know, this psalm is unique because if I remember what I was reading earlier today, I believe that this one psalm covers four or five different areas of everyday life. But I just want to look at this one here today. And for those of you that take notes, I'm going to go through these words real quickly. Or actually, I'm sorry. I'm going to go through them slowly so you can write quickly. I'm going to go slow. You go quick. The first word in this verse, depending on the translation you use, it'll say either unless or except. And the phrase that it talks about here is unless the Lord builds the house. So this word here, it means, it expresses an unconditional prohibition. An unconditional prohibition. What that means is not you, okay? Because look at the context of how it's being used. It says, unless the Lord builds. The unconditional prohibition here is, it's not my job and it's not your job. If it was up to us, it would say, unless you or I. But that's not what that says. It says, unless the Lord builds. You know, I hear people a lot of times, and it's nothing to get overly excited about, but one of the things that I hear people say a lot that tickles me is when I hear people say that we're building the kingdom of God. You can't build something that's already been built, but you can expand on something. You know, you think about this. You look at different cities from around the world, here even local. You look at Bridgeport and Clarksburg and some of these cities. You know, they didn't start off the way they are right now. You know, when my dad was serving on Anmore Town Council, I remember every year they had, and I forget what the technical term is, but every year they have the opportunity where they can expand the town limits. They can go like 50 feet or 10 feet or whatever it is. But every year, every town and every municipality, if they have land outside of their borders that has not been taken over by another territory, they can apply and expand their borders. Now, you remember Jesus made a statement, and he said when he came, the kingdom of God was at hand. And you hear people all the time saying, we're building the kingdom of God, we're building the kingdom of God. No, we're adding to the kingdom of God. The kingdom's already been built, folks. And it wasn't built by us. You go into Hebrews chapter 11, and the Bible tells us that the Old Testament heroes of faith, they had faith, and they were looking forward into the future. And they weren't looking for something that was tangible. It says that they were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. They knew where they fit into the whole scheme of things. They knew that it was that everything that they looked for, everything that they were dependent on, was dependent on the hand of God moving in their lives. Now, talking again about this word, unless or except, it's not my job and it's not your job to build something that you cannot build. This doesn't say anything about you and I building a house. It says, unless the Lord builds the house. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And he wasn't talking about the little rock Peter, he was talking about the big rock Jesus. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and what? And the gates of hell cannot, will not, shall not prevail against it. You know, you can get on any Christian website, like any website that deals with ministries and deals with ministers, and they will give you all these little pointers. They'll say 7 steps to build this type of church, or 12 steps to build this type of church, or if you want your ministry to grow, follow these 5 steps. And every one of these, you'll go down through these articles, and I understand where they're coming from. They're trying to be an encouragement to people. I get that. But as you go down through it, they'll go, well, this is what I did. This is what I did. This is what I did. And I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, well, that may be good for you. But 2 things there. Number one, it may be good for you. But number two, you didn't do a thing. The only thing you can take credit for is faithful obedience to God. And that's all we should ever take credit for. You know, if we start getting to the point where we're saying, well, I did this, I did that, I accomplished this, it was my gift, it was my talent, it was my ability, it has nothing to do with us. Listen. Spend some time with me away from the pulpit, and my brain and my mouth operate at 2 different speeds. And Crystal can say amen. Because I'll be sitting there sometimes with her, and my brain is just going full speed ahead, and my mouth is taking its sweet old time to get there. Or other times, it's the exact opposite. My mouth will be going, and then all of a sudden, my brain stops working, and I just freeze. Thank God it has nothing to do with my eloquent speech, because outside of the anointing, I'm not an eloquent speaker. Outside of the anointing, I'm not standing up here doing what I do today, because this is not me. You know, you guys know my story. I don't like doing this. I don't like being in front of people. This is very intimidating for me. You know, when I have to look people directly in the eyes, and you hear people say, well, if you don't look people in the eyes, that means you're dishonest. No, I have this thing about looking people in the eyes. Have a conversation with me. You'll see it. But when I'm up here, I realize that this isn't me, folks. That I don't do this for any glorification of myself. And, you know, these singers, these musicians, they don't do what they do to glorify themselves. We do what we do to glorify God. We want to see people's lives changed. And if God can use us to be examples, you know, I just wonder if all of us, and I'm not talking about just the people that are up here on the platform, but all of us, if we would sit back and look at all of our individual stories, look at everything that we've been through, look at all the different avenues, because listen, no two people in here came from the same background. Everybody in here came from a different background. You may have family members here, and you may have come from the same family, but your story is different and unique to everybody else's in here. But the thing is, we all got to this point. There's a reason why we're all here today, and it's for His glory. And I just wonder, you know, if we would look at all the things, if we would take all of our stories, if we would start and take 15, 20 minutes, each one of us, and look at each one of our individual stories and say, okay, this is how I got to this point in June of 2016. We would look at that on the surface and we would say, well, what in the world can you do with that mess? I mean, you think about that. If we would measure things by our standards and by our concept of understanding, and we would look at these things and say, what good can come out of that? You know, they even said that about Jesus. Can anything good come? They said the same thing about Him. Can anything good come out of His hometown? Well, yeah, His impact's still being felt. You know, let me move on, because I'm going to go down a different path if I don't don't want to go down my path. The word build here in the same verse, unless the Lord builds. The word build here literally means to build. It means to build up. It means to construct something. And it means to rebuild something. You know, going back to the point I just made a moment ago, some of us, when we gave our hearts to the Lord, we gave our hearts to the Lord and we never looked back and we never went back. Some of us, if you're like me, you took a different path to get to where you're at today. And I thank God that He rebuilt me. I thank God that He stands there with arms wide open. You know, there's a lot of us in here, probably the majority of us have went the other direction at times. You know, hey, I would have loved, and I don't regret it, but I would have loved to be able to stand up here and tell you that who I was, you know, how I was raised, that's how I went through my life. I can't tell you that. But I have to be honest with you and tell you, and you guys, again, know my story, 7 years away from God. You guys know that. But I thank God that He never gave up on me. I thank God that He didn't look at me as something that was completely in disarray and something that was beyond repair. That He looked at me and He could take me and say, you know what? It might be a mess right now, but all I need to do is just roll up my sleeves, get my hands back in there, get back to the job at hand. And He rebuilt me stronger than I was the first time around. Now I want you to listen to this. This word also has another unique meaning. It also means, or it is literally, this word is literally used to describe the construction of many different types of things. It's used to describe the construction of many different types of things. These things can be buildings. These things can be church buildings. They can be churches themselves. You say, well, what's the difference between the two? We're sitting in a building, you and I are the church. According to the Word of God, it's the people that constitute the church. So with that said, this word also means that God can build up people. You know, thank God that He doesn't look at things and measure things and judge things based on the way that we do. Thank God He doesn't judge people based on our standards. You think about that for a moment. Because, listen, down throughout my life, there's been different people that I've looked at some of the situations, and I've had to tell people, you better thank God every day that I wasn't him. I know, I'm the only one in here. I'm preaching to myself today. I get it. How does the Lord build people up? How does he build people up? Dreams, visions, ideas, thoughts. Maybe he can use somebody else to be an encouragement to you. Every one of us have been impacted by people. You've been impacted by people that are sitting in the sanctuary today. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. If you despised everybody that was in here, you wouldn't be here today. You're not going to be around people that drive you completely crazy. You're not going to be around people that you can't stand, but you're going to be around people that make you, that will build you up and will love you. And I hate to say it like this because it sounds so clinical. They'll make you feel good. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. You know, I love it when people will you know, compliment me. Everybody loves a compliment. But you know who the types of people I love more than that? The type of people that are not afraid to get in my face and tell me when I'm wrong. Let me tell you something, folks. The greatest example of somebody that we have like that is God himself. Because every time I get out of line, listen, do you think for one second that I can walk on water? Do you think for one second that I'm perfect? Not a one of us. Not a one of us. And you guys have heard me issue the challenge before. If you think that I'm that high and mighty and I'm that perfect, when the service is over today, let's walk down here to the bottom of the street to the creek, and I'll show you I sink just as fast as everybody else. But you know, I love it sometimes, and I've had it happen this week. You think that I've not had an attitude this week? You think that I've not gotten out of line? Do you think that everywhere I went it was, oh, absolutely not. I love it that God loves me enough that he will get right in my living room and straighten me out and say, son, you messed this up. You messed this up, now fix it. And let me help you. That's what a good daddy does. A good daddy will look at his child and say, you know what, let me help you out here. You're struggling with this. Let me help you and let me help you fix this. Move on. And I don't want this to be... I don't want this to be boring, but we've got to set this foundation before we go any further. What's another way that God operates to build us up? There's a thing that we have through the leading of the Holy Spirit called gifts and callings. Now, sometimes we look at things through our measuring stick, and we say, well, I just don't believe that God is working that way in that person's life. That's not for me to judge, and that's not for you to judge. You know what the Bible says about the gifts and callings of God? They're without repentance. God doesn't make mistakes, folks. God does not make mistakes. You know, you may look at Howie and say, well, I can play the keyboard a lot better than Howie. I've never touched a keyboard in my life, and I can play it better than he can. But you know what? God's called him to do it. God's called him for this season, and listen, I'm still praying, God, send that keyboard player in because this man wants to play his bass. That's been my prayer every day for the last year plus. He wants to play that bass guitar. But for right now, for this season, his calling is to play that keyboard. And somebody may look at that, there may be, listen, and it may be not anybody here, but it may be somebody sitting in another church somewhere. Look at that and say, I can't believe that they would allow somebody like him to be on that platform playing music like that. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You may not like it, but if God's called it, you need to stay out of it and leave it alone. I'll never forget, Crystal went to a Joyce Meyer conference back in, oh gosh, I forget what year that was. She went to Columbus, Ohio to a Joyce Meyer conference. And one of the things, and maybe I've shared this with you before, but one of the things that Joyce Meyer said in that conference, and it hit me hard, and I've used it as an illustration several times with different areas or different people. But she made a comment, and she said, don't have an opinion where you don't have responsibility. If it's not your responsibility, keep your opinions to yourself, because we all know the old saying about opinions. The house. Unless the Lord builds the house. The word house here, we think of it simply as a building where a family lives. Or maybe a place where an individual lives. That's our house, that's our home. The house here can also refer to not the building itself, but also refer to the family and the household. Let me say it again. It can refer to the family and the household. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds the family, unless the Lord builds the household. You know, you can read these articles, and I read them. I'm going to be honest with you. I go through when I see these different groups post these things on Facebook or wherever it is. And, you know, okay, this 10 steps to a successful ministry. I read them just because it gives me a lot of material. And I have never once seen one of these articles come out and say, one step for a faithful ministry. Yeah, everything is based on success. Have you noticed that in today's world, it's not based on faith, it's based on success? Dr. Howell sat in my office, actually no, I'm sorry, he sat right here in the sanctuary with me over a year ago and said, God never called us to be successful, He called us to be faithful. When we stand before Him on Judgment Day, He's not going to say, well done, good and successful servant. He's going to look at each one of us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, we don't base anything off of our successes. Our successes are nothing. Our successes are going to burn up, they're going to wither away, there's no use to them, there's no value to them. But what about our faithfulness? That's what I say, folks. Everything we do needs to be, and it should be done in faithful obedience to Him. We don't understand the things of God. We don't understand the ways of Him. You know, when the Bible tells us, and this was my prayer this morning, that He would help me find the mind of Christ. How far does He let us go with that? Because could you imagine what it would be like if we could see the whole plan and the whole scheme of things all in one swoop? I don't think any of us could handle it. Yeah, you know, I've always wondered, and you all have heard me say this, I've wondered what the Bible doesn't tell us. You know, what is hidden from us in Scripture that God didn't reveal to us, maybe because we would have looked at things. Have you ever noticed there's no last names in the Bible? Do you know why that is? Because somebody would be arrogant enough. What's that website where you can trace your lineage? What is that called? Ancestry.com. If there were last names in Scripture, I can tell you what would happen. The vast majority of American Christians would be on Ancestry.com finding out who they were related to. That way they could walk around, well, I'm related. They would shut their mouths if they were related to Judas. Nobody would be going around bragging about that one. Hey, I found out I was related to Peter. I found out, you know, that somewhere down the road, I was related to Joseph. Who are you related to?
Judas.
Nobody's going to brag about that kind of stuff. Unless the Lord builds the household. You know, we've watched here in this ministry how God has moved over the last several months. And we, all of us that have been here for the last year, we remember all the things that God said He was going to do. If you were here this time last year, you remember the things that God said He was going to do. You remember 6 months ago what God said He was going to do. And we've been praying for it. We've been seeking after it. Pastor Donetta said it a little bit ago. We've been praying. We've been seeking. And when it started, we sit back and we look at things and we go, I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I agree with that. You know, if it was up to us, if it was up to each one of us as individuals to build something, the finished product would come out looking a whole lot different, because one person would have this idea, one person would have this idea, two people may have this idea. You know, some folks may, their thing may look like that, others may look like that, and others may look like that. Everybody's going to have different ideas. Everybody's going to have different thoughts. Everybody's going to have different opinions. And you know, when as you try to structure something, as the Lord is leading, and you get everybody together working on the same page, and everybody puts their thoughts and everybody puts their ideas in it, but they realize that it's God that's in control. You listen, do you think for one second, those of you that were here, and please, those of you that are interested in having your name added to the membership role here at the ministry, please let us know. Please let us know so we can go through that. Sister Betty, I need to talk to you about that after service today. But let us know so we can get that taken care of. But anyway, do you think the year plus that we worked on restructuring everything about this church, do you think that that was an easy thing? Do you think that it was just one person's job that I sit down with everybody and said, I don't care what the rest of you think, this is what we're going to do? Absolutely not. Because we realize, you know what? Number one, we got to depend on God. Number one, we have to depend on Him. And number two, it took a whole group of people to sit down together and say, you know what, let's take this, let's take this, let's take this. And instead of keeping them separate, let's put it together. And it wasn't anything that we did. We accomplished absolutely nothing. All glory goes to Him. Because it was by Him. Listen, let me tell you something, folks. Most everybody in here knows the story of this church. 36 years, it hasn't all been smooth sailing. This church has been through a lot. This ministry has been through some of the worst conditions that you could ever imagine. But you know what? God was the one that built it. Dr. Howe learned a long time ago that all he was the chosen vessel. And he, to this day, he'll tell you that. All I was the chosen vessel. It could have been anybody else, but God chose me. That's his words. If he would have done it his way, good chance that this ministry wouldn't have made it. And there has been several people come through the doors, not necessarily anybody standing behind the pulpit, but there's been people come through these doors down throughout the years that wanted to do everything their way. And thank God that He stood up and said, you know, I don't care what your way is, we're going to do it my way. Some of you were here when it was down to 10 people. Some of you were here 7 years ago almost. What a lot of you don't realize is 7 years ago, when the vote was taken whether or not for Crystal and I to come back and pastor this church, there were 13 people here. 13. You see what happens when man gets in the way? We're going to go somewhere here in just a minute because I'm going to kind of hit the gas pedal here. Though I'm going to come back to the word labor, but I want to look at the word vain here for a moment. The word vain means emptiness, vanity, evil, ruin, uselessness, deception, worthless, without result, and it can also mean something that's a fraud. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. They labor fraudulently. They labor worthlessly. Again, no value to it. Everything is useless without God's assistance. I like this word labor. This word labor, it means God's building of His house. God's building of His house. Now, again, we look at that and we hear that and we think maybe it's talking about the four walls in the building, but you know what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6, and you know what Jesus said? This house is the temple of the Most High God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your body is the temple of God? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, if you dwell in me, I'll dwell in you. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor. Again, that word labor means God building His people. We can't build His people. We can encourage His people and help lift them up, but God's the one that builds people. It's not our ideas for the gifts and the callings. It's God's plan. God may not use, listen, I have learned this, and what I have read and studied in the Bible over the last 15 plus years, you know what I have found out? God always uses the least likely. He never uses what seems to what our decision would be, what our way would be. That's not what God uses. And every time that He had somebody chosen that didn't do it His way, you know what He did? He replaced them with somebody who would. Look at King Saul and look at King David. You know what was crazy is as you go back into 1 Samuel 8 and you look at what God told Samuel to tell Israel what kind of a king they were going to get. He laid it all out there and said, this is what you're going to get. This is what you've asked for. This is what you're going to get. Well, we don't care. This is what we want. But thanks be to God that after he let him go through that season, he said, you know what? I'm going to raise up a man after my own heart. And as Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, he sees the biggest, he sees the baddest, he sees the strongest, he sees the best looking, he sees probably the most financially successful in the house of Jesse. And Samuel says, one of these has to be the one. And what did God say? Not him. And after Samuel went through all the sons of Jesse, I've got this picture in my mind of him with his hands running, his fingers in his hair, just going, what am I supposed to do now? And God says, ask him if there's another. Ask him if there's another. And he picked the youngest, the scrawniest, but in God's eyes it was the best. Let's see what happens. Let's go. We're going to take a journey back to the time that we were in Sunday school at like 5, 6, 7 years old. Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. This is what happens when people try to do God's work for him. Let me say it this way, when they try to do it their way rather than his way. God, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, but we're going to try this first. Again, I know I'm the only one in here that's ever been guilty of that. I'm the only one that has ever said, God, I know you want 100% of this situation, but I'm going to give you 99.9, and I'm going to try the 0.1 first, and if that works, then hey, everything's fine and dandy, everything's good, but if that falls on its face, then God, I'll come back and do it your way. And then you know what we find? We find another path to try to do it our way again. Let's see what happens when people get involved and they try to do something outside of the will of God. Genesis chapter 11, verse number 1. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. I want you to look at three things here. Number one, they said in verse number three, they said, let us make. Then in verse number 4, it says, let us build for ourselves. And then midway through the verse number 4, let us make for ourselves a name. They weren't worried about glorifying God. You know what they were worried about? They were worried about promoting their own selves. They were worried about promoting their own name. You know something, folks? I'm going to stand before you and tell you that one of the biggest, probably the biggest problem that we have in the church in America today is you got a lot of charlatans standing behind pulpits that are only in it to promote themselves. They're not interested in promoting the name of Jesus Christ. They're interested in promoting their bank account, their closet, their garage, their name, because they want their name to be something great. And we see what happened. I don't have to read through the rest of the account. We all know what happened with the Tower of Babel. God said, let us go down. Let us go down and see what's up. You know, people have looked at that and they said, well, that's just crazy that everybody that was alive at that time, they all had one common language, and then all of a sudden, somebody that was a doctorate, had a doctorate in some kind of the languages or something, I forget what exactly the doctorate was. This was done probably 15, 20 years ago. But they traced all the roots of the I forget how many major languages there are. I know Chinese is one, or Mandarin rather. Mandarin is one, English is one, Spanish is one. They went through all the major languages of the earth. You know what they found out? They all had one common root. Every one of them came out of the same language. They were trying to disprove Scripture, and they ended up in their studies proving Scripture. But we see what happened. God put a stop to that nonsense real quick. You know, we had a family at the church we used to pastor. We had a family that no matter what we did, no matter what decisions were made, and they would go along with the decisions, but the minute that my back was turned or the minute that Crystal's back was turned, you know what they did? They blasted every decision we ever made. This family in particular tried to cause so much trouble for me before I came here. They called people in this church and started spreading all kinds of garbage about me. And they were talking about things that I didn't even have any say in. Things that I just left to the leadership of the church to make some of those decisions. And I mean, I got ripped through the mud. Let me tell you how bad it got. It got bad enough that I had to call the pastor, I had to call two of the elders of the church, and I had to call the family themselves and tell them, if it doesn't stop, I'll see you in court. Because they were slandering my name. It wasn't that I was looking to sue anybody or make any money, but I was going to put a stop to it. Because it wasn't making me look bad, it was making God look bad. Because that's the first thing that people think. They think, well, if the preacher's corrupt, that damages the reputation of God. Look how many people today won't serve God because of what the two big-name preachers back in the 1980s, what they did. There's people today that say, well, I won't have anything to do with church, I won't have anything to do with the Lord because of what these two men did back in the 1980s. You know what? If that's your excuse, get over yourself. Every one of us has a past. Every one of us has made mistakes. You're not going to be able to stand up. And I thank God for those two men. And you, most of you know who I'm talking about. They both have the first name Jim. I'm not saying names because we're recording. But most everybody knows who I'm talking about here. And those men have made more of an impact for God since they fell. More souls have been added to the kingdom of God through what these two men, they had to learn a hard lesson. They will be the first to tell you that they made mistakes. They made serious mistakes. And you know what? What amazed me in that was that the people that stuck with them, they got shamed as well. How can you be there for somebody like that? You know what? Everybody needs a friend. Everybody needs to know that there's somebody there that cares about them and that they can depend on. You know what? You may not always agree with me. I may not always agree with you, but I can promise you, you got somebody that's going to pray for you. You got somebody that's going to be there for you through thick and thin. But I had this family, and like I said, I wasn't trying to make a fast buck. It got bad enough. I called that pastor. I said, look, we're friends. And I said, I'm telling you right now, if you don't put a stop to it, this is what I'm going to have to do, because I said, they're not going to slander me and speak libel against me and cause trouble at a church that they don't even know anything about. I called those two elders of the church at the time, or two of the elders of the church at the time. And they both said, you know what? They said, we know exactly what you're saying is 100% true. They said, we've seen it happen. We know what they're up to. And they said, if you have to go that far, we will testify on your behalf. The pastor of that church said that he would testify on my behalf. That's how crazy things got sometimes. You know, I've noticed this, that no matter what ideas or what decisions anybody makes, somebody always thinks they've got a better idea or a better decision. You know what? I'm not always going to do things your way. You're not always going to do things my way. But I can promise you this, when I make a decision, it's because I've sought the Lord on it. And if you make a decision, it's because I trust you enough that you've sought the Lord on it. Listen, we have watched, and I'm gonna go ahead and say it, and I'm gonna put it out there. We have watched what has happened in the southern part of the state. In the southern part of the state, God has moved in a way that is just absolutely amazing. I told the Sunday school class, 4,000 people have gotten saved so far. They took an 8-week break because the evangelist that was the head of this, or the one that they brought in, he got just completely physically and spiritually zapped. He said, I need to take some time off. They're getting ready to fire it back up. 4,000 people have been saved. Half that been filled with the Holy Spirit. But I've started watching. I've started paying attention. And people in different areas are trying to duplicate what God did down there. You can't listen, what God did down there was unique for that area. When God does something in this area, it's going to be unique for this area. God's going to meet this area in their desperate place. Those people got so dead. Listen, they were all coal miners. They lost everything. They were on the verge of losing their homes. They lost their cars. They lost everything. They were losing their families. They had nothing. It should have never got that. They should have been dependent on God up to that point. But you know what? Thank God He doesn't judge and measure the way we do. Because I looked at that and I'm thinking, why? You know, if they would have just clung to God to begin with, they never would have gotten that shape. But you know what? Thank God. Thank God that they come running. They knew what to do. I mean, it was a perfect storm of things. You had a high school student that had been healed of a debilitating disease. and gave that testimony the same week that this evangelist comes. This guy was only supposed to be there for 3 days. He's only supposed to be there for 3 days. He's been there for 3 months already. And now they're getting ready to start it back up again. Can you imagine? This guy didn't have any, I would say he probably didn't have any thought of what was going to happen. Do you think that he would have even, we talked to some of those of you that were in Charleston, we talked to these ladies that were there. God put us right next to people that were a part of that church. And he said, you'd have to be there to see it, to believe it. But you know what's happened is people are looking at that and they're saying, well, you know what, we're going to duplicate. You can't duplicate it. Let God do it. God can set revival fires in Clarksburg, West Virginia, but it can't be because I or somebody like me would stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to do it this way. This is my decision. We're going to do it that. We're going to do exactly what they did down there and see what God. You can't do it that way. Why not spend time? You know, you want me to tell you, you want to see a revival break out? You want to see a revival break out? If I called a prayer meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, how many of you would show up? Now, don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. How many people would stay home simply because we're having a prayer meeting? You think about that, and that's sad. But you know what? You know, you understand that prayer is what moves the hand of God? It's not my ideas. It's not your ideas. It's not, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to replicate. No, it has nothing to do. We can't replicate anything. We just need to sit back and say, God, you know what? We're in your hands. Listen, this area is desperate for a move of God. Desperate for a move of God. But it's got to be God doing it. It has to be God doing it. If anything is done any other way, nothing good's going to come out of it. Yeah, I've looked at, there's a guy that I know. Some of you met him. He came out to Wallace with us a couple times. And I look at some of the testimonies that he gives at different places, and I'm not trying to pick on this one, I'm just using this as an example. But I look at some of the testimonies that this guy puts when he has when he holds meetings for churches and whatnot, and he'll talk about this many people getting saved, this many people getting saved, and that's great. You know, hey, thank God people are getting saved. But I just wonder if there's any follow-up. I just wonder how much of a follow-up. And those of you that are leaders in this church, that's something that we really need to concentrate on. If I forget to do it, somebody needs to pick up the slack and remember to do it. When somebody gives their heart to the Lord, you know what we need to do? We need to get every contact information they've got because somebody's got to follow up. Because if that's great if you lead somebody to the Lord, but if they turn right back around and they go right back into the same mess they were in because nobody in the church took the time enough to care, what did you accomplish? You accomplished absolutely nothing. You failed God. You failed Him miserably. And I've noticed just in the last month, the new ones that have come in, as far as I know, we've got everybody's contact information. Because I want to make sure that we have that follow-up. You don't want somebody... I've seen it happen in this church years ago. I saw a guy come in here one time, lay a crack pipe down on the altar. Broke it, smashed it. Gave his heart to the Lord right there in that service. Turned right back around and within 2 weeks was right back in the same mess that he was in. Because nobody in the church took the time enough to care because they just didn't have time. My God, help us. You know, folks, you look around. I want everybody just to kind of look around. Just real quickly, look around and get a glance at everybody's face real quick. Do you know everybody's name? No, I'm not taking a poll. Just think. Do you know everybody's name? Do you know one thing about them? Now, let me ask you this. And this one, I'm asking for an answer. Are we brothers and sisters in Christ? Get to know your brothers and sisters. Take the time to get to know them. Whether I try to spend time with people, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a face-to-face, whatever the case is, I try to spend time with people. You know why? Because I want to get to know people. Take time to get to know your brothers and sisters. You know, greet them, shake their hand, hug their neck, find out what their name is, find out something about them that they like, find out something about them that they don't like. Ask them about their story. Ask them where they've come from. You know why that's important? Because that's how God is building His church, folks. He's building his church through relationship. You stop and think about it like this. If you've ever built anything, whether it was with wood or whether it was with brick, you understand there had to be a relationship between that mortar. Let's use bricks for an example. There has to be a relationship between those bricks and that mortar. Why is that? Because they have to adhere to each other for that thing to be built. You know, we were talking about, and I'm going to do something here in just a few moments, but I'll just real quickly do this. You understand for this to stand, there has to be a relationship between those three pieces. There has to be an understanding and a relationship between those three pieces, because if there's no understanding or no relationship, let's try it this way. I can, if I really concentrate, I might be able to get that to stick. You understand the point? If you don't really try or really concentrate, that thing won't adhere together and it won't grow together. You know, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the body. He says that everybody is a different piece to the body. There's different members. Let's go there real quick. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's take some time. Let's go there. I'm just about finished for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to go back to a point that I made there a few moments ago. And I want you, and I pray that God, if you have been guilty like I have been, that God will get a hold of you the same way He's gotten a hold of me at times. I'll be honest with you, I don't spend near as much time in prayer that I should. I don't spend near the time that I should. And again, I know I'm the only one in here. I'm preaching to myself. You know, I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. But I know who does. And the only way we're going to be able to find His mind is through serious prayer. Maybe that's what we need to do tonight. Maybe that's what we need to do tonight, is just spend time in prayer. Not worry about the clock, not worry about what this week is going to bring, but just get into the presence of God. Because you want answers, He's the one that's got them. You want solutions to your problems, He's the problem solver. Unless the Lord build the house, First Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writing, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, verse 15, if the foot should say, I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is it for this reason any less a part of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. whereas our seemly members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ. Now see, there's one of the problems we got in the church today. You know, we see somebody going through something. You know what? And I'm not saying here, but you know what I've seen in other churches? If they see somebody going through something, you know what they do? Well, they must have done something to deserve it. Or if somebody gets just hugely blessed from God, you know what some of the attitudes you'll get from church folk? Well, what did they do? Why should they get that? Why can't I get what I'm asking for? Why am I not being blessed? Well, I can tell you why. Your lousy attitude. Simple solution to a simple problem. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Listen, folks, you guys, and we've seen this, when we see God move and bless folks, I've watched this here. We get excited for what God's doing. And you know what it stirs up in me? It stirs up an anticipation in me that if God can do that for somebody, then He can do, my little need is nothing compared to what God did for somebody else. And if He can do that huge thing for them, He can take care of my little need. We've seen people that, we've got loved ones here that have lost family members that have passed away, that have went through surgeries, that have went through hurts, that have went through sicknesses. And you know what I've watched? Everybody's rallied around each other. You don't get that everywhere. And that's sad because that's not how God ordained the church. That's not how He built the church. He didn't build the church for this section over here to despise this section, to despise this section. He built the church for this section, to love 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 this section, to be there for each other, to lean on each other, to build each other up when we're hurt, to you understand what I'm saying? That's what the body's all about. You know, hit your thumb with a hammer. And do you look at that hand, do you look at that thumb and say, well, you know what? You got what you deserved. Who's going to be dumb enough to do something like that? No, you take care of that thumb. You take care of what's wounded. Where was I? If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. Let the body flow together. You know, we were talking on Friday. We said, you know, you look at all the pieces that it takes to build something. And you look up here at this, and you see different shapes, you see different sizes, and you see different colors. And we were talking on Friday about the studs inside of walls. You know, a lot of them look the same. The studs, they to a certain degree, they behave the same. They all have, the studs of the wall have the same job. They all do relatively the same work. But you know what's unique about these studs? They all carry their own weight. They all do what they're called to do. This stud over here in this wall does relatively the same work as that stud back there, but this stud carries a different load than that stud carries. And what happens when you start removing the pieces? It becomes weaker, and all the load goes to the next stud, over to the next guy. And then what happens if that guy gets weak? Everything starts falling apart. Every one of these pieces up here, they do different things. You've got squares, cubes, cylinders, triangles, pyramids, however you want to look at this. They all have different things that they do. but they're all equally as important as the next. I thank God for this church because I have seen a love and a compassion come from this group of people that I have never seen in another church. I've been at this a long time, folks. You got to understand, I've only been pastoring this year, this September. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. April made 10 years that I've pastored churches. But I've been at this since I was 3 years old. And I have never seen a group of people come together and love on each other like this group has. And as we've seen new people come in the last couple of months, I've watched you guys, and I just sit back sometimes, and you don't know it, but I sit back and I observe. I just sit back and I watch and see how people treat, how they treat others. And I'm going to tell you something, I'm very impressed. I'm very proud. Brother Paul, I'm not trying to pick on you, but I look at you and your story and what you've come out of, and I thank God that He got a hold of you when He did. But unfortunately, there's people that would look at his past and say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want him anywhere near me. I don't want him anywhere near my family because of his past. But you know what, I've watched everybody here. And you don't even know what this man has told me privately about this church. But I've watched him, and I've watched you all, how you are with him, and not one person holds his past against him. Not one of you has ever held my past against me. And that's a beautiful thing. I'm very impressed, and folks, listen, I want to stand before you, and I want to tell you this, that we need to keep headed down the same path that we're going. Things may happen that we don't like, that we don't agree with. You're going to do things that I don't like, I'm going to do things that you don't like. But I have to trust you enough to know that you sought God out for whatever that situation was. Whatever that decision is that you have to make, whether it's within your ministry, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your family, I have to trust you enough to know that you sought God out on it. You may do it different than the way I would have done it, but I'm going to trust you enough that you sought God out. And I want you to give me the same respect. I want you to trust me enough that whether it affects my children, my parents, my wife, this church, myself, that I don't do anything half-minded, that I'm doing it because I feel that's what God wants me to do. Let's stand behind each other. Let's reach out to each other. You know what? I want to tell you something else. There was an individual that was here just not too long ago that caused me and my wife a lot of hurt. And I invited this person. I'm the one that, and I'm not taking glory, I'm just telling you that I prayed. And I invited this person to come. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do because of what happened. And the service that person was here for, I sat back there at the computer and I just watched. I watched to see how everybody that knows this person, that knows the situation, I watched to see how everybody would respond to this individual. And you know what happened? 100% of the people that were familiar with the situation, every one of them went and hugged that person around their neck. Don't go to hell over an offense. And for sure, don't go to hell over a secondary offense. If somebody offends me, pray that God will help me recover and that He'll minister to that person. Pray for that person. You know, folks, we've got to carry the attitude that Jesus had on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what? Sometimes people are going to have to look at us, and they're going to have to carry that same attitude towards us. They're going to have to look at me. They're going to have to look at you and say, Father, forgive them. They don't realize what they did. Unless the Lord, listen, folks, we cannot. If I were to write one of these articles, the title of my article would be One Step to Faithfulness. Trust Him. Trust Him. We don't need multiple steps. We don't need multiple programs. Programs and those things will come along. If God ordains them, they'll come along. But we're not going to do anything around here just to draw a crowd. We're not going to do that. But we, you know, folks, we've watched over, God told us almost a year ago that He was going to send people from our past. People that had caused us loss of sleep at times. That he was going to bring people in that had never been here before. He was going to bring people in that had strayed away. That he was going to bring the lost in. That people that don't worship like us. People that don't look like us. People that don't behave like us. People that do things differently than the way we do it. That's who God was going to send in. And you know what? It's happened. And since February of this year, since the first weekend of February of this year, and more recently in the last couple months, it's like God has hit the gas pedal. And if he's done it already, what else is in store? Put Psalm 127:1 back up on the board. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds the family, they labor in vain who build it. Let's give it to God, folks. Jesus made this statement. I want you to stand with me today. Jesus made this statement. Love the Lord your God with everything you've got, first and foremost. That's the greatest commandment of all. And he said, the second is like unto the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. A good friend of mine that pastors a church in Buchanan, many of you know Pastor Jerry. I was there on a Friday night one night, and he was preaching a message on those two great commandments, and I'll never forget what he said. It's like 250, 300, 350 specific commandments all throughout Scripture. And he made a statement. He was preaching on those two great commandments. He said, you know, everything falls in line with those two commandments. Everything every commandment in Scripture it either points to loving God or it points to loving people. Yeah, I think Pastor Raj may have said that one of the evenings he was here, that out of the original Ten Commandments that Moses received on the mountain, that the first four were directed towards your love for God and the last six are directed towards your love for others. And Pastor Jerry made this statement. He said, if we can just get a revelation of those two great commandments, he said, all the others that are in Scripture are commentary. He said, it's all commentary. He said, love the Lord your God with everything you've got first and foremost, and love each other as yourselves. And I challenge you, folks, God's building something here in this church. And I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to use us going forward. But I challenge everyone in here. If you look around, like you did a little bit ago, and there's somebody that you don't know something about, get to them. Get their phone number. Call them during the week. Find out about them. Find out their likes. Find out their dislikes. Ask them about their family. Ask them how you can pray for them. If we're brothers and sisters, we need to behave like brothers and sisters. I'm talking about good brothers and sisters that love each other. Not the ones that can't even stand to one lives in L.A. and one lives in New York. I'm not talking about that kind of brother-sister relationship. Let's close out here together. I want everybody just to pack it in here, right here in the middle. Just get in, pack it in like sardines. Crystal, has anybody got the grill going or anything? Okay.